One big prayer request I failed to mention and certainly want to remind us about is the youth camp coming up. And they're leaving out Sunday morning about 7 o'clock, and we will be. And so just keep the youth in your prayers. And we're also borrowing a van from Brother Johnson, so we're going to pray this time that the van's ready to go, unlike last year. That's an inside joke. So we were ready to go. Amen. And so be in prayer for the youth. And again, thank you, our church, and many others who contributed to make it possible. It takes a lot of money to get them up there. And what a blessing. So you be in prayer for them. I know we are taking, there are some, at least three that we know of going with us who we feel are not saved. So let's pray for them as well. Secondly, we had two other churches going to use the tank and all of our decorations. Sometimes in years past, our men have gone to all this effort, many, many hours of building these things, and then, you know, they get built, we use them for 3 or 4 days, and they're done with. So we have two other churches that are going to use our decorations. I thought that's very good, very good. And so at least they'll get used two more times before they get thrown away, a lot of it. And so anyway. Also on the building, the plans for this building are finalized, and so there'll be 7 classrooms upstairs, 5 smaller classrooms, and then the 2 large classrooms, along with the teacher's resource room, which we promised for our teachers and workers and master club workers, and also we'll put music in there. There'll be lots of stuff in there. It'll be kind of a catch-all, fine tape, fine scissors, right? So anyway, but that's finalized. And also the downstairs, which is this area, the fellowship hall, did finalize it where we could have the two big folding walls. And so this room will be open when we want it, and then it'll fold up into 3 classrooms when we want it. And so that'll be amazing. For Sunday school, we'll have our main 3 adult classes in here, and they'll have their own room. And you'll be surprised how this is going to work. It's going to be amazing. And so we are able to do that and looking forward to it. And so here in about 4 or 5 weeks, probably the Sunday after Beat the Heat Sunday, or that Monday after Beat the Heat Sunday, which is the last Sunday in August, we'll have to be out of this building or out of this auditorium again. So kind of just keep that in mind, about 5 weeks from now. I want to apologize to those on the internet Sunday night and tonight for the services being real short. We got about 10 minutes before the kids rotate again, and that's how long the message is going to be. So turn to Ephesians chapter 6 again, and we'll take just a few minutes, encourage you. And I am encouraged. I enjoy just what the Lord's doing with us with our buildings, and it's encouraging. I told the men, finance team, Sunday night, I just really am impressed with our contractor and just want to hug him every day. I mean, I just really do. I mean, he's just been so good. And so just continue to pray for the building and its progress. And you're even going to see more progress in the next couple of weeks. You'll be real surprised how quick things go. We talked Sunday night about the whole armor of God and taking that whole armor of God and Paul just admonishing us to put it on. And so just we really dealt a lot with the phrase, the wiles of the devil. And look there at verse 10 again. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not your strength, but in the Lord's strength. And in the power of His might, not your might, but His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," that trickery of the devil. And he is a trickster. He'll do anything he can to attack you, to discourage you, to frustrate you, confuse you, to get you to fail. He's what he wants. He wants that for you and your marriage, for your children. And so I just want to remind you, the devil is your enemy. And we know the world and the flesh is our enemy, but the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom may devour. He hates you. I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that. That there is a spiritual enemy out there who hates us and is looking to destroy us, and they're already rotating. Eve was deceived. Adam was disobedient. And Satan's still working around the clock to see that you are one or the other. I love that statement. It's not original with me. It's original with John Phillips. He's still at it. He's either going to trick you into disobedience or get you to willfully do it. And that's one or the other. And so you got to be vigilant. And you know your adversary is the devil. You got to be vigilant about the enemy. The devil, the enemy. His name, of course, Lucifer, the serpent. The word devil, the name devil means accuser. And this is in reference to God's people, that he goes before the God and accuses his people day and night. Remember when he went before God in the book of Job? Everybody try to stay with me. And so he went before God in the book of Job. He said, and God said to Satan, look at my servant Job. And so Satan began to accuse Job. He said, yeah, he's your servant. Yeah, he's a good man because you have a hedge of protection around him. And that's why we use that word hedge. A lot of times when I pray, especially when I go to a home and I pray for a family, I pray for an individual in their home, I'll pray for a hedge of protection about their home. Because apparently God does that. And from the book of Job, it's where we get that reference. And so God had put a hedge of protection around Job. And so there's accusations. The devil is accusing us before God. And we need to remember that. But can I tell you that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what difficulties come, no matter what struggles come, that it all came across God's desk first. It has to come across His desk. It's just not going to happen in your life. Devil can't just come and attack you. It's got to come across God's desk first. And so just be reminded, you said, well, you're saying God, I'm not saying God does it. I'm saying God allows it. There is a difference. And God has a reason for everything that comes into our life, and it has come across His desk first. And so there is a reason things are happening in your life. The old devil hates you. He is Satan. That word Satan, so devil means accuser. Satan means adversary. He is the enemy of God, the adversary, the enemy of God and the enemy of us. He's also referred to in Matthew chapter 4 as the tempter. John chapter 8, he's referred to as a murderer and a liar. I quote this one already several times. In 1 Peter 5:8, he's referred to as a lion, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In Genesis chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 12, he's referred to as a serpent. In 2 Corinthians, he is referred to as the God, little G-O-D, of this age. He is the God of this age. He's the principalities of the air. He is the adversary. He is your enemy. He is my enemy. He is God's enemy. It's good to be reminded that Satan was a created being. And in so being a created being, he is not all-powerful. He is not all-knowing. Amen. He is not everywhere present. Only God is. In other words, he has limited abilities. Isaiah chapter 14 describes his fall. He said, I will be like God. I will be like... And he fell. He was that anointed cherub, the Bible says, that actually not stood, but was over the throne of God. There were four cherubs around there, and he was the anointed cherub up. In other words, he was number one created, if you would, being the anointed cherub. Now, the Bible refers to him even then as an angel of light. A beautiful creation. Again, not the cartoon picture. If he is not all-knowing, if he's not all-powerful, how does he accomplish so much? Well, it tells us, not only here, but in other verses, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, he is highly, highly organized. The angels that fell with him, those angels that fell with him, he has those guys organized. And there's no doubt in my mind that the devil knows what's going on in your life because he has someone assigned to you. That's kind of my view of it. And so whenever you do something wrong or you do something that's a sin or whatever the case, he'll come back 6 months later and accuse you of it. You say, how did he know I did that? He knows. Amen. And that's why sometimes you got to say, get thee behind me, Satan, and quote some scripture. Use that sword, the weapon that God has given us. Oh, there's so much. That old adversary, the devil. As we think about putting on that whole armor of God, finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. As we go to battle, and in this battle, the spiritual battle, we must understand that we are in a wrestling match. It's called there in verse 12, talks about a wrestling match. We are in a struggle. I won't go into all the wrestling illustrations I have. The best one I have is when I wrestled my brother at my papa and grandma's house. Y'all have heard that one, right? This hasn't been all that long ago. I think I told this illustration even recently. So me and my brother wrestled. My brother's 4 years older than me, but he's skinny. He used to be skinny, like I used to be skinny. And so we're wrestling in my papa, my grandma's house. It's a pier and beam house, you know, wooden floor. And so we're wrestling. All of a sudden, we got to wrestling, and I somehow got him up here. I was standing up, and he was above my head. I said, this is going to be awesome. So I looked up at him, and he looked down at me, and I said, look what I've done. Don't remember how I got him up there. And then I threw him to the ground. I said, that's fun. When your older brother beat you up all your life, you know, until you were 16, and you get a chance to body slam him from about 6 feet and land on a pier and beam. I know it was pier and beam. He's going to bounce. And he did. We were in a struggle. We were in a wrestling match. But can I tell you, that's kind of funny, but I tell you, the wrestling match we're in with the devil is not funny. It is a, and if you wanted to do an illustration, it would be more of that Greek wrestling. You can go back and read about it, where basically no holds bar. In fact, they wrestled till their eyes were gouged out, and it was basically whoever died first. It's kind of like some of these so-called death matches they have now, but it's not the same. But that's the kind of wrestling match we're in. We must be reminded that the devil is a force to be reckoned with, and you cannot defeat him on your own. He is a force. He's powerful. He's powerful. He's a ruler of the darkness of this world. I just really think about the power that he does have. The Bible speaks of Daniel, that Daniel prayed, and one of his prayers was blocked for 3 weeks by the powers of the devil. Can we be reminded that there is a spiritual warfare that we cannot see? And we're praying, and we don't get the answers to our prayers, and though we feel we're right with God, and though we feel we've done everything right, maybe it's not always our fault that our prayer is not being answered. That there's a spiritual warfare taking place that we cannot see, and that prayer may just be halted, or that prayer may have been captured. Amen. It's biblical. Daniel chapter 10, go read it. Must be reminded that there is a warfare we cannot see. And remember the prophet that opened the student's eyes, and he saw the angels around him. I just got to remember, there's just a spiritual warfare we cannot see. Satan, opposing forces are against us, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's why I want to come to 13 and I'm done. Verse 13, I preached this before a couple years ago, but this is a wonderful just way to remind us. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why does it say it a second time? Anytime the Bible says something twice, we need to really pay attention. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, and it gives you the list of the armor. In what? Take on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to what? To stand in the evil day. There's a day coming, guys. In your life and in my life, that we're going to have to take a stand. And the Bible says you need to be ready for it. Now that just simply means there's going to be, this is more than just not having socks in your socks drawer when you wake up, you know. I wake up every once in a while, there's no socks in my socks drawer. I'm like, this is a travesty. Never been there? You know, when I go to the sock drawer, it's magic. I open it up and there's like socks folded up in there. I didn't do it, but it's magic. They're all always in there. So when it doesn't happen, it throws me all out of kelter. So when it talks about the evil day coming, or this day that will come in your life and in my life, it's not talking about not having socks to wear that morning. It's talking about that financial burden that comes into your life, or that job loss, or that health problem, or the loss of a loved one, or whatever it may be. When that evil day comes, when that day in your life that is just distressful and just an all-out war against you, you ought to recognize that for what it is. That's your evil day. By the way, you're going to have more than one of them. Okay, so when you wake up in the morning, do you know whether that day is going to be the evil day or not? You don't know. So therefore, you need to put on the whole armor of God every day. Not every other day, not every third day, but every day, and be ready for that day when that issue comes into your life. When that out of the ordinary problem, that unusual trial, that unusual temptation, again, a loss of a job, a death, whatever it may be, you better be prayed up. Amen? You better be prayed up. You better have your tank full. right? Better not be running on fumes. You run on fumes, that's when the devil really will catch you. He really will slap you around. When you're spiritually weak, when you are not in that relationship with God as you ought to be, man, that's right when the devil's got you. And he's going to take advantage of that. The biggest trial many times comes when we're spiritually weak. Again, the devil knows that. Stand. Take a stand. Put on that whole armor of God every day. So when that day does come in your life and that day comes in my life, we'll be ready. And again, you don't know when that day is going to come. We kind of go through cycles around here at our church as far as just issues and things going on. And here of late, the last 6 months or 8 months, it seems to me it's just been a lot of health problems in the church and just deaths as well. And this is there seems to be no end to it. And I know maybe it has to do with our size. We are growing. There's just more people. But that's not the case either. The devil likes to discourage us. He really does. I got a text this morning from a family in our church. It just says, basically, is the world ending, you know? I'm like, I text back and said, you know what? He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He loves you. He loves me. Just be reminded. And then I got two or three other calls today. Just kind of one of those things. You don't know when that day is coming. Have your tank full. Be ready. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let me pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you for VBS. We pray that you bless the invitation that's coming up here in about an hour. God, that you would just bless hearts and open hearts of these children. In Jesus' name.